Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode of On the Fin Side here with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I'm Brian Kett, NFL. Paul is Fanatic underscore pick. We're joining you here in the evening for a special show here. You know, things are going to run pretty quick with the NFL draft and with free agency here over the next couple of months. So we really want to take this episode to kind of set the table for what we have here in-house. You know, the Dolphins are going to make some cuts. They're going to have some decisions on some unrestricted free agents. So we're going to run through those names, and very straightforward as far as the players who make it cut. There aren't a lot of names, but there are some. What the Dolphins could save by cutting them and whether or not we would do that. We're also going to talk about the unrestricted free agents. We're going to throw out a dollar amount we think would cost to re-sign them and give a yes or no on that too. But Paul, before we get into our own roster here, big news today. Deshaun Watson has formally requested a trade, and let me make something very clear to begin with. A lot of people, I don't know in our chat, but Dolphins fans, stop talking about Deshaun Watson. Listen, this is the most talked about story in the NFL outside of the Super Bowl, and it involves the Dolphins, whether you like it or not. Maybe the Dolphins aren't interested aren't as interested as we like to think that they might be. But this is certainly a thing, and it is not going away. So we are going to continue to talk about it. So, Paul, I'll throw it to you on that. Just kind of passing thoughts, any random thoughts here on Watson as we continue?
Yeah, there's a lot of teams whose beat writers and fans, et cetera, seem to think that they're getting Watson this offseason. And I think the fact that a lot of teams have a big need for a quarterback right now plays heavily into that. Depending on which beat writer you listen to or which national writer you listen to, Watson wants to go to the Jets. Watson wants to go to the Dolphins. Watson wants to go to anybody else. I think the most hilarious thing actually too, as part of this is, you know, Houston finally names a coach and it sounds like Watson went, I firmly would like to be out. And that's what happens when you hire a position coach that's never even been a coordinator before. And, you know, basically it's very weird because I'm sorry, I'm rambling a couple different directions on this one, but of the seven head coaches hired this cycle, there was one that to me was a no-brainer. That's Robert Saleh, who went to the Jets. There were two that I'm like, good. Somebody caught on to them in Dan Campbell and Arthur Smith. And then there were a few like, really? That's a little early for the Eagles, et cetera. And then there was this one, which I'm not even going to lie. I had to look and go, who the hell is that? I mean, it was one step for me above them interviewing the active player in McCown and, you know, saying like, we'll bring an old man Caldwell to advise him. You know,
it's another step in the wrong direction. It looks like, Yeah, David Culley they hired, who's an assistant there with the Ravens. And the word is that Watson wanted out anyway, regardless. But I thought that if they had hired Eric Bieniemy and let things simmer for a couple of months, maybe there's a chance things could have gotten worked out. Maybe, maybe not. So I said on our show last time that I think four things need to happen. And we're going to move on from Watson after this. Don't worry, everybody. Number one, they have to fire Jack Easterby. Obviously, they didn't do that. It's appalling, but they're not. Number two, they don't hire Eric Bieniemy. Of course, they didn't do that either. Number three, and this is where we are right now, Deshaun Watson has requested a trade, demanded a trade, because he wants out there. Now I think he needs to take it a step further and say, basically, look, you either trade me or I will never play another down as a Houston Texan again. That needs to happen. And then I think step four needs to happen. The Texans, for the Dolphins to get the upper hand, potentially, the Texans have to want Tua as a starting quarterback of their football team.
Yeah, that, well, maybe they have to either want Tua or they have to want somebody they believe will be there at three. And because you have to imagine any package for Deshaun is going to strongly be pushed for the third overall pick or a top five pick from whoever they go with, if they can get it, or ammo to go up there and get, you know, whether it's Fields or Wilson or whomever. But again, I can't get, like, I know he wanted out before, but you have to feel like the Texans ownership looked at their head coaching situation and went, all right, everybody else is turning over these stones. It's like the scene in The Waterboy when they went out and like all these other teams started like grabbing their towel guy and the equipment manager and throwing them on the field. That's what it feels like as these head coaching searches went on here as far as the hirings went.
I mean, he is basically an assistant offensive coordinator with the Ravens. You look at him, I tell you what, it doesn't, you just look at David Culley and hear him talk. Doesn't scream of leader of men. Just
players like him though.
Well, I mean, you don't necessarily have to be a Dan Campbell type to be a great coach. No doubt about that. But I don't know. The optics of it certainly don't look great. And as has been the case with the Texans. So, Paul, whether the Dolphins need to clear out room for a specific somebody or whether they just simply want to have more money to play with here in the offseason, they're going to have to make a couple of decisions for current players. And really, there is no like Lawrence Timmons that the Dolphins have to cut this offseason at all. There's a list of a few guys that we'll get to. Just, you know, we're not going to talk to you about the ins and outs of everything to do with the salary cap, when it was created, what it does, blah, blah, blah. Very simply this, that the salary cap in 2021 is going to be somewhere between 175 and 190 million. And Barry Jackson had a great article with the Miami Herald kind of breaking this down a little bit. The salary cap in 2021 is expected to be between 175 and 190, but conservatively might be around about 180 million, which means that the Dolphins are going to have somewhere around 38 million in cap room because they have 23 million in cap room. Now they've got 15 million about that they can roll over from last year. And it's going to cost about 12 million to sign their draft pick. So that would leave them at the end with about 26 million. If we take, you know, who out of the equation here. So they've got some interesting decisions, Paul, but again, no Lawrence Timmons, no Taco Charlton type where it's like, okay, we know we're going to cut them this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, the closest to that maybe might be Fegelum on our list. It does save the Dolphins a few million, and while he played well on special teams, Miami had a lot of guys that did well on special teams, and he really, really came out and showed that outside of special teams, he's useless. He makes Walt Akins look like a good safety at that point, and that's not necessarily a good look. I like having a special teams ace, but you've got to be so far above and beyond, and I don't feel like he is that.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. And players like when the roster is getting as deep as the Dolphins is, and you're also going to be adding, you know, five draft picks presumably in the first 82, they're all going to make the roster here, and they've all got to play a role. So guys like Mac Hollins, Calvin Munson, Clayton Fedulum, who just play special teams, they're a lot more in danger here this upcoming year. So we've got seven names, okay, that are salary cap. You know, you never know. I'm not saying that they're likely to be cut, but that's what we're going to talk about here. Some of these names will whiz through. Six of the seven guys on this list are either safeties or wide receivers. So we're going to go through the safeties here first. Clayton Fedulum, Paul, the Dolphins could save, according to Barry Jackson's article, $2.5 million.
Out. Yeah,
out. He's out for me too. I think the next two, I know the answer to. Bobby McCain saves $6.4 million by cutting him. Eric Rowe, $4 million. Keep them.
Yeah, keep them both. I mean, Bobby McCain stops, you know, $16 million players from catching balls over the middle of the field. So keep.
Yeah,
and Rowe's a tight end eraser.
Yeah.
Against most.
He's the normal tight end eraser, we'll call
Yeah.
him. Not against Kelce or Waller, but
who is
people can stop him? Yeah, but yeah, I mean, if when you're talking about Eric Rowe, it would save you $4 million. Bobby McCain, $6.4 million. That is an easy keep him on the roster. It to me, they're bargains there at the safety spots. That doesn't mean Brandon Jones shouldn't play a bigger role, or the Dolphins shouldn't draft a fourth safety to take over for Fedulum if cut. But I'm with you on
well,
that.
Well, and actually, one thing I want to touch on. I don't want to beat it to death. But Bobby McCain, I believe, has a lot bigger savings if you designate him as a post-June 1st cap or casualty. So if the right players line up in the right positions and fall to the right spot and you kind of feel like, all right, you know what, we knocked the draft out of the park and we happen to grab a few safeties in the process that we're feeling really good about, then maybe. But I think I would cut Rowe before McCain. It's Flores loves Rowe, but Flores really loves Bobby. And Bobby gets the job done in a way that, in all honesty, he might be a little bit underpaid. He is such a key cog in this defense, the way it stands right now, that I don't see where or how, let alone the fact that he's a captain, you're cutting him.
You're right. I don't see how either one get cut. And you're exactly right on that. You save $6.4 million by cutting Bobby McCain as a designating him as a post June 1st cut. So I'm glad we're in agreement. Probably not going to happen. The only way I would agree with cutting a Bobby McCain is if it's because somehow Justin Simmons or Marcus Williams hit free agency. Marcus Williams probably will, but if you sign one of them saying, hey, we can go from good to great here, then that might be worth thinking about. But other than that, no way. Wide receiver, and this may be places where, you know, it really is a position where the Dolphins are probably going to have to make some room for the, because you've got to think they're going to sign a wide receiver in free agency, who, regardless of who that is, they're going to draft at least one wide receiver in the draft, probably two. So they're going to have to make some room here. So Jakeem Grant, if he's a post June 1st cut, the Dolphins save $4.1 million. Stay or go?
At least until after the draft, stay. You don't have to make a decision on him right away. He's a critical, special teamer. I think he's been misutilized, and you can do some fun things with him, and you want to make sure that you've got your replacements firmly on roster, and there's no rush to make the decision. And, for me, it's a keep for now.
It's a keep for me as well. And Jakeem Grant, second team all pro. And to me, this is one of the best two or three punt returners in the league. I would pay $4 million a year for that. I would. I mean, I think he's a major, major weapon when he's out on the field there, and he's gotten better at not dropping the football, which was my problem with him early in his career. So for me, he stays, and he's the punt returner. Probably doesn't play a lot on offense though. Alan Hearns, I think that's an easy one. Post June 1st, save $2.4 million. He's out. Albert Wilson, you save $2.9 million by cutting him. He didn't play this year because he opted out, just like Allen Hurns. What do you think?
I think you get Albert Wilson into whatever camps you can hold this year, see what you've got, and then make your decision from there. And again, maybe I change my tune depending on what the Dolphins do in free agency and in the draft. I mean, if they go out and they get, you know, and I'm not even going to say one of the top three, you know, because that's whatever. But if they get a Kadarius Toney, a Jalen Darden, you know, a Tutu Atwell, I'm struggling to keep Albert Wilson at that point in time. I think his role becomes superfluous with guys like Lynn Bowden and some of those guys.
You bet. You know, because like we've talked about, Gesicki's basically a wide receiver. So you've got Parker, Gesicki, Lynn Bowden, Jakeem Grant. There's four right there. You got to think Malcolm Perry's going to come back and compete. And you're going to have a few other bodies in there. And we haven't even gotten to free agency in the draft yet. So for me, Albert Wilson gets cut. They don't save a ton of money. But, you know, you're talking about somebody now who over the last 2.5 years has 351 yards receiving because of injuries, because of opt-out. So for me, he gets the axe.
Well, and here's the other thing I'd say there, too. It's if you can manage to trade some of the guys that Greer has managed to trade, and you know exactly who I'm staring straight at, Isaiah Ford, for a conditional late round pick or for a late round pick in 2022 or whatever, you at least before you make that cut for Wilson, you explore whether or not anybody wants to take a sixth, seventh, fifth, whatever round flyer or a conditional draft pick flyer on a guy like him, because he does have some explosive talent that somebody may get enamored with out there.
Yeah, and we could see a similar type of trade as, you know, future seventh rounder like the Dolphins had with the Patriots for Isaiah Ford. So, Yeah, you bet. You know, sometimes trades like that are pulled off just to keep the guy off the free agent wire. We saw that with Danny Isadora a couple of years ago when the Dolphins traded for him. So, yeah, anything's possible on that. So it looks like we're in agreement on all of these guys. We've got one left, and that's Jesse Davis. And Jesse Davis, the Dolphins would save $2.6 million by cutting him. They would, you know, they have to still pay him $2 million. So you're not saving a whole heck of a lot of money. For me, I'm probably keeping Jesse Davis around. Could play all five line positions. Players look up to him. So yeah, I'm going to keep him around.
I have been one of the biggest Jesse Davis bashers on the planet in previous seasons. And I will fully admit that I was a little bit wrong. He is probably never going to see a Pro Bowl. He's most likely to see a Pro Bowl at right guard. If Miami's going to utilize him at right guard, and I'd like to see him stay. I really would. I think Miami's best offensive line this year had him at right guard and Kinley at left guard, which pains me because I do like Ereck Flowers.
Davis is a good versatile piece. And if you cut Jesse Davis, you're going to end up looking for a versatile veteran lineman like Jesse Davis. So yeah, I mean, I'm keeping him around too. So overall of the seven guys, we're cutting Clayton Fedulum, we're cutting Allen Hurns. The Dolphins save an additional $5.4 million. I'm cutting Albert Wilson to save another $3 million. You'd like to bring him back here, at least to compete. And we're keeping Jesse Davis, Jakeem Grant, and both safeties, Bobby McCain and Ereck Rowe. So looks like we're not too far apart on that. So let's take a look at the Dolphins unrestricted free agents we have. And we're only looking at unrestricted free agents because they've got some restricted free agents like Isaiah Ford and Jake Rudock and some exclusive rights free agents as well. But there are 13 unrestricted free agents we're going to whiz through here. Number one, and it really doesn't have a lot to do with money, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm going to throw the dollar amount of $7 million a year. Does he come back or is he gone?
If it were me, he's gone. I love Ryan Fitzpatrick, but as much as I like what he did advising Tua this year, I also don't want the things that make Fitzpatrick bad to become habits for Tua. That whole YOLO approach that you only live once. And, like, you know, we're going to go with F it, chuck it, that I like to say, which I won't say here on the air. I like Fitzpatrick. I would be all for potentially having him as a quarterback's coach eventually. But I think Tua or Deshaun Watson, whichever way it ends up going, needs to be able to stand on their own too without him behind you, even though I think he's one of the best backups around.
Yeah, and it's hard to blame him for that because he's too threatening to keep around. I mean, and I think they could get away with it this year because the Dolphins went 10-6. They weren't expected to. And, you know, Tua was a rookie. So you had that dynamic going on. And they got along well. They're laughing and talking on the sidelines all the time. They're talking each other up. I just don't think that can go on for another year. So I hope Fitzpatrick goes somewhere because I think he's one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the game. And I hope he can go to a team that that maybe can use him as a starter for a little bit.
And he's going to look for that. He's going to look to go be a starter somewhere.
Yeah, he will. He will. Absolutely. So I'm saying no on that too. Ted Karras, you know, he signed last year, 1 year, $3 or $3.5 million. It was kind of meant to be a prove it contract. He proved that he's a decent player. I mean, he's what you see is what you get. He's not a great athlete, but you're certainly not going to lose a lot of football games because Ted Karras is starting for you at center. I'm going to throw out the dollar figure of $5 million to bring him back. And I'll go first. I'm going to say yes on this. You know, it's not an overwhelming yes, but even if you brought back Ted Karras, he can play all three interior line positions. And, you know, in the second round, if you see a Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma, there you still have the flexibility to take him. So I'm bringing him back for $5 million a year if that's the price tag.
I am too, and not just because of what we saw on the field. It's also what we saw on the sidelines with him. He is a very involved player with this whole Ohana mentality that the Dolphins have as far as the family piece goes. And he's a good player out there. And, I want to see this line get a little bit of consistency. And that does not, as you pointed out, preclude you from getting a Creed Humphrey, getting a Josh Myers, getting another center in the draft. And the fact that you can potentially move Karras to one of the guard spots if needed, if Kinley gets hurt, if Jesse Davis gets hurt, if Eric Flowers gets hurt, or maybe you draft one of those guys and you part ways with Flowers, which is something that, you know, we'll talk about another day if it becomes a thing.
Yeah. Davin Gotchaw next on the list here. I'm going to put the price tag of $4 million.
$4 million for Gotchaw? Yeah. Yeah, I would do that.
Okay. I'm going with a no on that.
Not long term.
Yeah, right. I mean, we're talking 2 years, $8 million, 1 year, $4 million, something like that. I'm still going to say no. And the only reason is because I think he's a better fit with a different team. 6'3", 305 pounds. So he's not small by any means, but I think he plays, he's going to be a better player in just a traditional 4-3 defensive tackle role. The Dolphins have had a lot of success lately with the Giants, with the Zach Sealers, with the Raekwon Davises. I don't think Gotchaw fits that mold enough. And he's not somebody who gets a lot of sacks or makes a lot of game-turning plays. So I'm going to say no there on Davin Gotchaw. Three linebackers, and I'm going to give them the same price tag of $3 million each to retain them. Vince Beagle, Alandon Roberts, and Kamu Grugier-Hill. Which of those, if the price tag is $3 million a year, who stays and who goes there for you?
I'm going to put them in an order here. I'm actually going to, and this is going to probably surprise a lot of people, I'm going to prioritize Kamu Grugier-Hill over the other two, despite the fact that Alandon Roberts had more big-name plays. He also had more big-name misses. And given the play of guys like Jerome Baker and the fact that I want Miami to improve the position anyway in the draft, KVN as well, you need somebody consistent across from them. And I think Grugier-Hill was the most consistent of the three. Vince Beagle, he's probably my third here. I like him as a pass rusher, but I think Miami can do better. And Landon Roberts, he'll be a yeah for me. I would take him back at that price. I wouldn't pay through the nose for him. And he's there to add depth. But again, I want Miami to add a starting linebacker in this year's draft.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on Beagle there on the edge. I thought he played well in 2019, given the circumstances. I thought Andrew Van Ginkle played better in that role. So if you bring Beagle back, you know, you're probably not going to play him at middle linebacker. He's probably not going to drop into coverage. And you prevent some other draft picks from seeing meaningful snaps if you go linebacker at that spot. I'd like to do something a little different instead of just getting another Andrew Van Ginkle back. So he's a no for me. I'm really torn on a Landon Roberts and Kamu Grugier-Hill. I think you need to bring one of them back. And I'm going to go with Grugier-Hill too, because I think he brings more on special teams. He has a, he brings a lot of energy to the linebacker unit. I think he can cover a little bit more ground. Again, nobody's better on fourth and one than Landon Roberts, but the rest of his game was pretty shaky. So I'm going to be right there with you on at the linebacker spot. Punter.
So, Kat, real quick, we got a couple questions in here, and I don't want to lose them.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we just got asked if we like Lavonte David or Bud Dupree. I'm going to jump in on Bud Dupree, and I'm going to let you comment on Lavonte David. I like Bud Dupree, but I don't like the price tag we're going to have to pay for Bud Dupree, especially given the fact that we've got players in the draft that I think can come in and fill the need just fine.
Yeah, I like both players, but I agree with you. Bud Dupree is going to cost a lot. I mean, probably not only is he coming off a season-ending injury, but there'll be competition for him. And I'm going to say he ends up costing $12 to $14 million a year. I'd like to spend that at other positions. Lavonte David, I love Lavonte David. This is going to be his 10th year in the NFL. He's 32 years old. That's the only reason I would probably pass on him too. But good question there. So are the last real big name here at unrestricted free agent, not on offense, not on defense, a guy that we've talked about a lot on this show, Matt Hawk. I'm going to throw the price tag matching. Name's blank and one of the highest punter signed last offseason, but it was right around $3 million. I'm going to give that to Matt Hawk too. I'm going to bring him back.
Well, if you're bringing him back, I'm definitely bringing him back because you are way harder on him than I am. So, no, I think Hawk does a phenomenal job of pinning teams inside the 10-yard line. Given that fact, I don't see how you don't bring him back. You don't want to have to dig around and maybe find somebody. It's, you know, if he's asking for the moon, fine, let him walk. But if he's going to come back at $3 million, absolutely.
I'm with you on that. I could see the Dolphins not re-signing him just because you look at the last few years. They drafted Jason Sanders a couple of years ago instead of giving money to Cody Parkey. At long snapper, they cut Tabor Pepper before the year, saved a little bit more money by drafting Blake Ferguson in the sixth round. And maybe they do the same with Hawk and they draft a punter in the sixth or seventh round instead. So that bears keeping an eye on there too. But yeah, I'm bringing back Matt Hawk. So we're going to go speed round here on the rest of the guys because we've got
Before we do that, I just want to remind folks, thank you guys for all the likes, all the shares, all the follows lately. Make sure you guys are clicking like. Make sure you guys are subscribing. Turn your notifications on so you know right when we go live. Anyway, sorry, Kat. I didn't mean to jump in on you there, but I wanted to make sure to say that big old thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for everybody here. We know it's a weeknight, and we couldn't thank you enough for joining us here on these random topics. Sometimes we just come up with them on a whim, or we see an article we want to jump on here. So thanks for being part of that. All right, speed round here. These are players I don't even see costing $3 million to resign. So yes or no on these, we'll go down the list. DeAndre Washington. Finally said his name right.
Nah.
No, that's a no for me too. Matt Breida, the Walmart Breida.
No.
No, can't do that either because the Dolphins are going to get another running back and probably two. Matt Collins.
Nah.
And he had too many opportunities to – and too many drops, even though he had that legendary play, great special teamer, but it's a no for me. Julian Davenport.
Yes.
I'm a yes too on him. I'm surprised that you said yes as well. I know I was always higher on him than you. Yeah, I thought he did a good job when he was put out there as the sixth offensive lineman. He has left tackle, right tackle flexibility. He's still young. He's got some potential. I think he's a good swing man. I'll bring him back for $2 million a
year. Yeah, and it's for me too. When I was very surprised this season when he filled in. I think he found the right marriage with Miami's staff this year. I know they've got a new offensive line coach now, but I want to see a little more of him. Maybe he's one of those guys that developed over time, and he's not going to be your starter, but he can be in a pinch. So, yeah.
Yeah. Corey Pankey. Or Adam Pankey, excuse me. See, you've got Corey Parkey, Adam Pankey. Yeah, I just get them all confused here. So
Adam Pankey.
Nah. Adam Pankey. Yeah, he's out. Kayvon Frazier, safety.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked little bits I've seen from him in snips. And I like him, especially if we're cutting Fedulum. Don't get me wrong. I think Brandon Jones sees the field before Frazier does, but I think there's a role for him if he continues to develop, unless Miami happens to draft somebody that can supersede his spot. And it's not going to cost you a lot in dead money based on the contract you're going to get him for.
Yeah, he was definitely better than Fedulum on defense. And yeah, I think he does offer.
I'd be better than Fedulum on defense.
Yeah, you would. You got some wheels there, bud.
No, I don't.
I think Kayvon Frazier, yeah, bring him back for $1 million, $2 million a year and use your fourth safety. Maybe you don't box yourself into a corner where you need to draft a safety or sign another safety. So yeah, I'm with you on that. I'd bring him back for $1 million, $2 million a year. So that's going to do it for our unrestricted free agent list here too. And we'll touch this up as we get closer to the off season. Paul, any other thoughts here before we sign off? Any themes or questions there from the chat?
Let's see. Adam, what? Yeah, exactly. No, I think we're kind of good on the moment based on what I'm seeing in chat. A lot of have a great night, guys. Like I said before, make sure you're liking and subscribing. Thank you guys so much. We'll be back this weekend, though. I can't wait, Kat, talking a little Senior Bowl, right?
Yes. Now we start digging our teeth into the NFL draft. We've been watching Senior Bowl practices and reading a lot on that, too. This is where the board starts to come together. So Saturday, we're going to preview a lot of names to look for in the Senior Bowl game that kicks off at 2:30 Eastern time on Saturday on the NFL Network. And then we're going to do a recap and kind of tell a little bit more about how the board's starting to look and how it's changed after Senior Bowl week too. That's going to do it for our breakdown of the Dolphins possible cuts and unrestricted free agents. Be sure to follow Paul and I on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I'm Brian Cat NFL. Paul is Fanatic_pick. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.